It is well. What a powerful song. I don't know if that song resonates with you the way that it's been resonating with me this morning, but what a powerful declaration that it is well. And there's a line in that song that talks about the wind and the waves know his name. You know, we serve a God who is known by creation because he is the creator of all creation. And so no matter what's going on around us, no matter what chaos is happening in the world, it can be well with our soul because our trust is in him. So I'm glad you're tuning in. If you're tuning in online, welcome. If you're here in person, then you have seen all of those already on camera who's here in person, except for Truman, Old Faithful, running up and down the stairs, adjusting the camera, running back to get the audio and visual all figured out. So maybe if you're a couple people did this last week, but if you're tuning in and you're online and you want to just say thanks, Truman, in the chat, he wouldn't like that very much, but it'd be a really nice gesture to thank him and show our appreciation. And I'm appreciative of all of our worship team and just that we're able to gather and still do this online. And so if you did come prepared to give, there are online options for that. We do have an app. It's called Tithely. It's not our app. It's a church giving app. And if you want to give through Tithely, you can download the app and look for Transformation Church. You can also send an e-transfer online. And there is no pressure to give. If you're here tuning in and you just want to worship God, there's also no pressure to give. But those options are available. And so here we are. We're still in lockdown. It feels a little bit like deja vu, or like we've done this before, but we are back in our lockdown mode. But I'm really thankful that we do have the opportunity to do this online. And our prayer, just so you know, when we gather together in the morning before hosting this online service, our prayer is just that at home or wherever you are, you'd be able to sense the presence of God. And so I hope that even as you sing the songs with us and as you look into the scriptures with us, that you'd really sense God's presence. That's why we gather as his people. That's why we gather as a church. And maybe you're tuning in line or in online and you don't believe, or you're not a follower of Christ, or you're on the fence, or you're questioning that. I want to say we're glad you're here. And I hope, especially today, that the message speaks to you. I know it's going to encourage people who do believe in God, but maybe you're, like I said, maybe you're on the fence and you're not sure what you believe about God or whether he really is a personal being that you can have a relationship with. My hope today is that you would come to see who this God that we serve actually is. And as strange and weird as this might sound, sometimes it's easier to see the goodness of God when the world around us is really corrupt and evil and bad. And that is what we're seeing right now. There's all kinds of crazy things going on. And the message that I have today is called God in the Chaos. And that actually changed midweek, and I'll tell you a little bit about that later. But I had a message all planned and rearing to go, and it got to the middle of the week, and I was like, this doesn't seem like the message for this week. And so I just want to speak into some of the things that are going on right now. It would feel really awkward not to. There's all kinds of things happening in our world. In our immediate context, we've got this lockdown that a lot of people right here in our city in Thunder Bay are really upset about. But in the larger context, there's just some crazy things happening in the world. And I just think, for the most part, people feel a whole lot of pressure. And maybe you can relate with feeling that pressure because of what's going on in the world, but maybe in your own personal life, there's things going on. And I know lots of people who've got some pretty crazy circumstances going on in their personal lives, and it just seems worse, more amplified because of everything going on around us. And so I want to speak into that this morning, God in the chaos. And I'm going to be looking at Jeremiah chapter 7. But I want to tell you, before we jump in, before we look into the scriptures, my hope this morning, or this afternoon, if we go into this afternoon, or whenever you're tuning in, whatever time you're tuning in for, my hope as you listen to this is that you'd become a person whose trust in God is unshaken no matter what's going on around you. Do you know that's possible? That you and I can be people who our hope and trust in God is unshaken, even if the world around us is shaking. It doesn't mean we don't experience sadness or grief. It doesn't mean that we don't mourn or are faced with difficulties. But at a core heart level, you can get to a point where your hope in God is unshaken, where your faith in him remains strong even when things are falling apart and in chaos around you. So God in the chaos. And I want to start with a silly story. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever experienced a time in your life where a person or an organization or maybe your favorite sports team let you down? Okay, and that's why I'm going to start with a silly story, because what we're going to talk about today, there are some heavy things going on in the world, but I want to give an example that probably can relate to anybody. So maybe when I ask that question, you're thinking of like somebody who let you down and it emotionally affected you in a really negative way, and I'm going to address that later. But just so you know a little bit about me, and if you've been around Transformation Church long enough, you probably know me a little bit. But I just learned this week, and I was telling the team that's here, I'm actually a 7 on the Enneagram, if that means anything to you. If you've studied the Enneagram, a 7 is a person who's an enthusiast. They're an optimist to a fault. So sometimes what that means is when really, really bad things are going on, I turn my optimism on even more to try to ignore the bad things, because I just don't want to face the bad things, and I don't want to give in to feeling sad or down. And so I turn my optimism on even more. I remember recently, Vicky's going to hate that I share this, but I remember recently there was something that happened. It was a couple months ago, and it was just a really bad situation or something that was just horrible, and I said something really positive, and she's like, why do you always have to just say something positive? Like, why can't you just let it be bad, right? And that's just a little bit about me. Like, I revert to positivity and optimism because of my personality. And so growing up, I have always been a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, okay? Yeah, Cheryl's family, her son Dylan especially, is obsessed with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And so I don't watch hockey a ton, but growing up, I'd watch it sometimes, and I've always been a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. But I've been let down a lot by the Toronto Maple Leafs, okay? And anybody who's a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, you can relate with that. Unless you were born before 1967, you've never seen the Toronto Maple Leafs win a Stanley Cup. However, you have seen the Toronto Maple Leafs make it to the playoffs countless times, right? I mean, if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, you know this is true. Like, in my lifetime, at least, I've seen the Toronto Maple Leafs make it to the playoffs a lot more than they should have. And so, how they've let me down, because I'm an optimist, I remember being with my friends, and I'd be watching the playoffs, and sometimes they'd make it through the first round, into the second round, or into the third round, and it would be down to, like, you know, in game 7, or when they're about to lose, okay? So, in the playoffs, it's a best of 7, so they'd be right about to lose, and like the odds are so stacked against them that it's almost impossible. But because I'm an optimist, I would think about like, well, it's still possible. Like I literally remember there was games where I'd be watching the Leafs and they're about to be kicked out of the playoffs, and I would think about, I don't know if you know this, but the most goals that have ever been scored in a short amount of time were 3 goals in 21 seconds, and it was Montreal Canadiens. I don't know what year that was, but I've always known this fact that at one time, there were 3 goals scored in 21 seconds. And so even when the odds were stacked against me and everybody was like, okay, Toronto's out, they're out of the playoffs this year, maybe next year, I'd be like, no, there's still a chance because there's like 1.5 minutes left and they could still possibly score these 3 goals. And they've never done it, okay? So I've been let down by the Toronto Maple Leafs many, many times. And there were some years where it was worse than others, because I have friends that love to rub that in my face. And if you're a Leafs fan, you've experienced this challenge and this difficulty in your life, okay? People that are like, oh, they lost again. What's it, you know? So anyways, we've been let down a lot. And that's a really silly story. But I think all of us can relate with that feeling of being let down. And if we look at a more serious example of that, there's some of us that have been in marriages that have fallen apart. There's some of us that have been stabbed in the back by people at work, or your boss, or a family member, that they've let you down, and emotionally, it was something that was really difficult, and maybe you're watching and you've worked through that, you've forgiven the person, you've moved on. Maybe you're watching and you've just like suppressed that, you've pushed that down, you've tried to forget about it, but it still causes hurt and pain, and maybe it's hard to trust people because of how you've been hurt. All of us have experienced being hurt, have experienced being let down. Losing trust in humans is inevitable. Okay, so if you breathe oxygen, if you are alive on planet Earth today, losing trust in people is inevitable. If you're looking to put your trust and your hope in a person or in a government or in a system or an organization, you'll be let down. You'll come to realize that those systems, those people are flawed and are imperfect and can't hold your trust forever. And that can be really devastating. And God, in his kindness, actually speaks into this, okay? And so the content of what we're talking about, like there's some heavy things we're going to address, but I just want you to know what I sense God wanting to speak this morning is he wants to speak into your heart, and he wants you to know that he's trustworthy, that you can put your hope in him and be confident that he'll never fail you. He'll never let you down, right? So he's not like the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's not like that person who's hurt you deeply and wounded you. And he actually, in his mercy, the reason I love the scriptures so much is because God speaks into these kinds of situations before they happen. And so I want to talk a little bit about the things that are going on in our world today. I want to talk a little bit about the things that we're facing. There's been some things happen just in this past week in the news and recent events that are really difficult, and it causes a lot of people to lose trust in systems or organizations or governments or people. But God, before any of that happened, had some really wise things to say. And so we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 17, and I'm just going to read verses 5 through 10. It'll be up on the screen or in front of you on the screen, however you're tuning in. And I'm just going to pray before I read it and ask God to speak to us as we look into his word. God, I just pray that as we read these verses from the book of Jeremiah, that we would hear your voice. Jeremiah was a prophet that spoke at a time where things were worse than they are right now in our world. Things were really, really bad. And he actually prophesied that things were going to get worse. But he also really encouraged people to put their hope in you, because he said, listen, systems, people, this world is going to let you down, but God never will, so just trust him. And so I just pray that we'd hear the message that was spoken 3,000 years ago through Jeremiah, and that we would receive it for today. Because God, I believe you have some things you want us to believe and hold on to today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10 says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. So in verse 5 of what we just read, I'm just going to reread that verse. It says, cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. So these are some really strong words. And Jeremiah, I want to give a little bit of context about this prophet, Jeremiah, and who he was talking to and the time that he was living in. Because I think you and I can relate to the time in which Jeremiah lived. And I just want to say as well, the time that Jeremiah lived in and the people he was speaking to, what they were going through is actually a lot worse than what you and I are facing right now in our world. Not that things won't get that bad. I'm not saying they are. I'm not saying they're not going to either. I'm just saying things could get worse. Things could get a lot worse. And Jeremiah was actually speaking to a people where things were bad and they were about to get a whole lot worse. And he's telling them, before things get really bad, he's saying, like, if you put your trust in people, you're cursed. Like, don't do that. Like, you're going to experience the curse of trusting people, and it's going to be discouraging. It's going to bring you down. You're going to feel let down. You're going to feel like there was a knife gone into your heart. Like, don't do that. Put your trust in God. And the reason he sang this is because Jeremiah knew that there were some really bad things to come. So Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he was a prophet, and he was one of these prophets that God told him some things that were going to happen before they happened. And so Jeremiah, like a father who's loving his children, is going to these people of Israel, and he's saying, listen, like, things are bad now, but they're going to get a lot worse. And so make sure that you trust God. Don't trust people, because if you trust people, your world will be shattered. You won't have a leg to stand on. You're going to be so discouraged. You're going to feel so down because you're going to be let down. So trust God, because he won't let you down. Even when things are chaotic and horrible and bad, you can rest. You can have peace, because if you're trusting God, he won't let you down. And he was warning people. And so Jeremiah, and I want to tell you a little bit about him, because the job that God gave to Jeremiah is a job that nobody would want. Okay, I was actually, and I don't know where you stand on what you think about Doug Ford, but I was watching one of Doug Ford's addresses to our province a couple weeks ago, and I was just thinking, I don't know if anybody would want his job. I definitely wouldn't. You know, when Doug Ford makes the announcements he makes, he's got people on both sides that are angry at him. Some people are saying, well, you're not strict enough, and others are saying, well, you're being too strict, and you're trying to oppress the people, and he's just got attacks coming in from all sides, right? And I don't think anybody at this point envies his job, right? It's a difficult one. Well, Jeremiah, this prophet from the Old Testament, it was even worse. Do you know that when God called Jeremiah to go and prophesy to the people of Israel, God told him, he said, you're going to spend your life giving messages that are from me to the people of Israel, and people aren't going to listen to you. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Can you imagine? You're given a job, and you're told, here's the job I want you to do. Tell the people to stay away from evil, to stay away from all the things they're doing that are wrong and that are going to cause destruction. And by the way, they're not going to listen to you. So Jeremiah's job that he was given by God, God says, here's the job, you're going to fail. So you're going to warn people, you're going to tell them to stay away from doing bad things, you're going to warn them of what's going to happen if they do, and they're not going to listen to you. Can you imagine having that as a job? Like, right from day one, Jeremiah was told, like, you will not be listened to. So Jeremiah gets these direct revelations, these words from God, and he's warning the people of Israel. He's telling them, like, stay away from this. Make sure you change your behaviors. Stop worshiping false idols. Stop offering your children to sacrifices. Stop doing all these evil things like all the pagan nations around are doing, or bad things are going to happen. But the people don't listen. And so Jeremiah spends, like, the first chunk of his life giving these prophecies of, like, stay away from this, don't do this, and he's giving these warnings. And then the things that he warned against actually happened. Israel was destroyed, like absolutely destroyed. People's houses were burned down. The nation of Israel crumbled and fell apart. And Jeremiah wept and wept and wept. And you can actually read some of his prayers. He cries out to God. He's like, God, why did you let this happen? You know, why did these horrible things happen? Like, where is the justice? Are you going to make it right someday? He was this weeping prophet because he spoke a message of warning, knowing people wouldn't listen. And then when they didn't listen and destruction came, he wept. He wept bitterly over this. And so you can read in the book of Lamentations, there's some pretty powerful prayers that Jeremiah prays. But can you imagine having that job where your job is to warn people to not go a certain direction, and then they do go that direction, and then horrible things happen because of it? You know, I was thinking about Jeremiah, and I read this passage of Scripture, and I want to say as well, the reason I read this, I had mentioned earlier, I was planning to talk about Jesus and money. So my plan for this week was to talk about generosity and giving and what Jesus wants us to do with our money. And I got to about halfway through the week, and on January 6th, which I think was Wednesday or Thursday, the Capitol building in the U.S. there was a riot that broke out, and the Capitol was broken into, and people were looting and rioting, and there was this big mob, and that was going on, and there's some other things going on that I'll mention in a minute. And I just felt like, man, this message that I've got on my heart doesn't seem like a fit for this week. I feel like there's too many unanswered questions and anxieties over what's going on in the world for me to just get up on Sunday and be like, hey, let's talk about money, right? And I felt like something was shifting, like God wanted me to go a different direction. And right in the middle of all this, I started thinking about all this, and Randy Coates, I don't know if you're watching right now, Randy, but Randy and Elaine, they're John and Megan's parents, and they've been coming to TC for about a year now or so, but you might not have met them because we've been on lockdown for so long, and then even when we were open, we were in for a service, we had to leave right after because we couldn't mingle too much, and so you might not have met them, but Randy sent me this passage from Jeremiah right in the middle of when I was thinking about all this, and I read it and realized, like, man, it's so pertinent for what we're facing right now. And so thanks, Randy, for sending this along. And what I want to point out from this, so we, you know, Jeremiah was this prophet who was given this really difficult job of warning the people and knowing that they were not going to heed his warning. And then when judgment struck in Israel, the things that happened to Israel were absolutely horrendous. And Israel actually went into a time for 70 years where they were in exile. So the Babylonians, when they broke in and destroyed all of Israel, they actually took all of the elites from Israel. Anybody who had an education, anybody who knew anything, anybody who had any political power or authority or prestige or had a big Instagram following, all those people, okay, all the ones that were influencers were taken out of Israel. And so the people that were left were the commoners, the simple people, the ones that weren't going to be able to form a government, weren't going to be able to strengthen Israel. And so all of those really influential leaders were taken out to a foreign country, and Israel was just decimated. Families were killed. It was horrible, and Jeremiah lived through this. And so Jeremiah knows what it's like to struggle and to face calamity and difficulty and challenge. And so this week, I just want to touch on a couple things that are going to relate to you and I right now. Right now, we're living in, there's another lockdown going on, and Thunder Bay, specifically, is just really upset about this lockdown. If you go onto the Thunder Bay District Health Unit's website, you've got all kinds of really angry comments. Why is the lockdown going on when our cases are different from the rest of, you know, Southern Ontario? And then if we do have this lockdown continuing, why are kids going to school? It seems like a double message. Like, why is it okay for kids to go to school, but we can't go to the ski hill, or we can't go to our work? Why are small businesses suffering? And there's people just angry and really upset about all of this. And it is frustrating. It is challenging. It is difficult. You know, as a pastor, I had to call the Thunder Bay District Health Unit to figure out what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do. And while I was on the phone, and I'm feeling the frustration of some of the decisions that are being made, and while I was on the phone with one of the representatives from the health unit, I just had a sense, like, to thank this person, because I'm realizing the person I'm talking to on the phone is a person just like me that has to answer questions from the whole community, and they don't even always agree with every decision that's made. And I thanked the person on the phone. I said, I just want you to know, I appreciate you doing your job. I know it's hard. I know you're facing questions. And they said, you know, it is really difficult. A lot of people are really angry right now. And we had a really good conversation. They even said, you know, some of the things that are being passed as laws and the lockdown measures, they don't have, it doesn't make full sense. There isn't logic with all of it. Like, it's just decisions are being made and we're having to enforce it. And it's a difficult, challenging time. And I think the reason some people are so upset about stuff like this is because it's difficult to be away from people. I felt really blessed when the worship team came in this morning. We were all less than 10, by the way, so you don't have to report us or anything like that, okay? We had less than 10 people in the room. But it was just exciting to see other people and people that I hadn't seen in a while. And it was a blessing. And I realized maybe I'm saying that and you're like, well, lucky you. Maybe you're mad that I'm even saying that and you didn't get to be around other people. But I realize how difficult it is to not be around other people, and especially if you struggle with mental health issues, or you already battle loneliness, or you don't have a lot of people around, this can be a really difficult time, or you can't visit a loved one. It's challenging. This week, and I already mentioned it, the U.S. Capitol building was raided on January 6th. That was a pretty scary day. One of the articles or news reporters I was listening to said that something like this hasn't happened since the late 1800s, like the Capitol building being raided, mobbed, stormed. Like, it was kind of a scary day to think about a place like the Capitol building that's held in pretty high esteem, in the States at least, being just trampled through. People carrying stuff out, flipping desks over, screaming in the place. I think there were five people that were killed that day, both rioters and police officers. Like, it's just it's a mess. In the Christian world, and I'm not going to say a name here because the name doesn't matter as much as this kind of thing happens a lot, but there was a very, very famous Christian apologist, one of the most famous Christian speakers alive today, who died in 2020, and after he died, it has become very public and come to light that he sexually harassed multiple people. This is probably one of the most trusted men in Christianity, and it's shaken up a lot of people. You know, it was really difficult for a lot of people when he died in the middle of 2020, but at the time of his death, all of the facts about the sexual harassment stuff weren't verified. But after his death, his own ministry has put out a statement saying, yes, this did happen, and it's really grieved a lot of people. If you're in the charismatic community, there's been some very prominent prophets who have prophesied that Trump was going to win the election. And there was one very prominent, well-known prophetic guy who actually, on his Instagram account, publicly apologized for what he called a false prophecy. He said, you know, he believed that he was hearing from God on the outcome of the election, and he got it wrong, and the only reason I'm saying this is because he did this on his own Instagram account. And I bring this up because the things that are going on in the world are very unsettling. You know, the things that are happening in the States at the Capitol building, the lockdown. Within the Christian world, the Christian community, there's some very prominent, well-known people who've either had false, they've heard, claimed to hear from God and then come back and said, no, I didn't actually hear from him, or there's, you know, sexual scandals that are coming to light, and it's really unsettling. You know, I don't know if any of these big events have impacted you deeply or caused you to feel unsettled. Maybe you're hearing some of this for the first time. Maybe you didn't know about this famous Christian apologist or these known prophetic people that have gotten things wrong. Maybe you didn't know about that. But maybe there's some things going on in your own personal life that just caused you to feel unsettled. You know, I think one of the things that's happening right now is that even within families, you've got people on various sides of the political spectrum that are angry at each other over what they think about the Trump versus Biden election. Or they're angry at each other about where they stand on whether the lockdown should continue or it should stop. Or they're angry at each other about whether you should get the Pfizer vaccine or not. Like, there's just, and it's unsettling. Maybe there's people that you trust that you're just having a hard time facing or talking to because you're upset at whatever their view is. Or maybe you feel let down, right? And I want to go back to what we read. I'm not going to read it again, but just think about Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, Jeremiah, speaking on behalf of God, says, like, cursed are you if you put your trust in humans. And I want you to know, we can't trust humans or human systems or the organizations of this world. We will be let down. And I want to remind you that God is not in heaven right now panicking because of what's going on in the States, at the Capitol building, with the election, with the upcoming inauguration. Like, he's not panicking. This doesn't come as a shock to him. God is not panicking over this extended lockdown. He's not fretting at, oh, what's going to happen next? Are we going to have to go into a further lockdown? He's not panicking over what's going to happen with the vaccine. Like, God is in control. And I believe that a lot of times, these events that we're seeing, the things that we're facing in this world, God uses things like this to align our hearts with him. If you're feeling really unsettled right now, if you're having a difficult time feeling peace or connecting with God, that might be an indication that you're not trusting him fully. You may trust God fully and still believe strongly on some things, but what I'm getting at is, if you're really unsettled and you're angry at people and you're making enemies of friends and you're just upset and you're having a hard time feeling settled, it might be because you're not fully trusting God. And I want to encourage you, like, the darker things get, the more we have an opportunity to just trust him. And the darker the world gets around us as followers of Christ, the more that our light should shine for him, because our trust is not in the systems of this world. Our trust is not in Trump or Biden. Our trust is not in a certain government. Our trust is not in a certain organization or system. Our trust is in God. We should expect that human beings will let us down. We should expect that human systems will fail. We should expect that the chaos of this world is going to be chaotic, is going to make us feel unsettled. We should expect that. God warns us all the way through Scripture. It's not like Jeremiah 17 is this one scripture that stands out among the rest where God for one time says, humans will let you down. It's actually a theme that goes right from Genesis all the way to Revelation where God says, don't trust in the system of this world. Don't put your hope in people or in the things that people do or the plans they come up with. Put your hope in me. And this is an opportunity for us to actually trust him. And this will be up on the screen. I'm going to read two verses from what we already read. And I just want you to meditate on this and think about what these verses are saying. And to go even deeper as we read this, is this describing you? And if the answer is no, don't be discouraged because this can be descriptive of you. It says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That is powerful. I don't know about you, but the image he paints there, that those who trust in the Lord, they're like trees planted along a riverbank. So the roots of a tree, if a tree is planted along a riverbank, the roots go down deep and its source comes from the depths. It comes from the water that is down deep. And so if drought hits, the trees that are not close to water, they're far away from the river, like they wither up, they die, they're affected by the drought. They can't handle it, okay? And so what the picture that's being painted here is that if you're somebody whose hope is in the Lord, then when drought hits, when difficult times hit, when the capital is stormed, or if the democracy of the West falls apart and crumbles, yes, you'll be sad. Yes, you'll grieve. You'll be like Jeremiah and say, God, why are these things happening? But you're not unsettled because your hope in him remains secure. And the picture he's painting is that, like, when you put your trust in God, you can face anything. Whether that's a failed marriage or somebody that stabs you in the back and you don't know how you're gonna face it. If all of your hope was in that relationship making it, you'll fall apart. You'll crumble under the pressure. But what Jeremiah is saying here is he's saying, what God is saying to you is that if you put your trust in him, if you put your faith in him, you're like a tree planted by a river. Your roots go down deep. So when the drought hits, when the storm comes, you're immovable because your anchor is in the one who is immovable. But if your anchor's in the things of this world, if you're trusting in the systems of this world, you're going to be like that tree that's off close to the desert somewhere and the roots don't go down deep and it's super shallow, and as soon as the rains dry up, the tree falls over. The tree doesn't make it. Like, that's the image that Jeremiah's painting, and he's warning the people, who's saying, listen to what God is saying. You can actually have a relationship with the creator of the universe where you're drawing your strength from the deep. You're going to be immovable. You're like a tree planted by a stream of water. This will be up on the screen. This is the only non-scripture note that I'm putting up on today's sermon, and I really want this to be something you think about. Those who put their trust in the Lord will thrive in the worst of times. So those who put their trust in the Lord will thrive in the worst of times. So no matter what's going on, no matter what challenges you face, what difficulties going on, if your trust is in God, it doesn't mean you won't be sad, you won't grieve, you won't have questions, but in the course of the time, you'll thrive. And I promise you, based on God's word, that this is true. Those whose trust is in the Lord will thrive in the worst of times. And I want to give a couple examples. And so we talked about Jeremiah. So Jeremiah was a prophet to the people of Israel, and he prophesied their destruction. He said, you know, if you don't change your ways, destruction is going to come. Well, it happened, right? So right in the middle of Jeremiah, and right in the middle of the book, the Babylonians come in, and Israel is decimated, and then they go into a 70-year exile. Okay? And as I said, all of the bright, the smart, the popular people were taken out of Israel, and they were taken into Babylon, and they were basically used there for government officials and all kinds of this stuff. There's a couple examples that are really cool. So there's a guy named Daniel who, in the middle of like when his people, his homeland, his nation's being destroyed, Daniel serves in a foreign, secular government, and he actually thrives, okay? And so when I say Daniel thrives, like God blessed him. He became like second in command in this really powerful nation. His own people had been destroyed, his own land was destroyed, and he was taken out of that, and he thrives. But his thriving comes with a price. If you read the story of Daniel, there's a time where Daniel's allegiance to God is tested, and he's actually thrown into it's a famous story, Daniel in the lion's den. He's thrown into a den with a bunch of hungry lions. God preserves him, God protects him, and he thrives. The impact that his life has on people around him is huge, because he's surrounded by all these very secular, not sexual. He was surrounded by all these secular elite government officials, and he has this incredible relationship with God, and they look at him and they're like, what drives you? Like, what is it about you? Why are you so solid? And he's able to point them to the creator of the universe. But he thrives in the midst of a really hostile environment. And the same with, in the same kind of timeline, there's these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There are another examples. You can read the book of Daniel. This is post-exile. This is after God brought judgment to Israel. And these guys thrive. They have this incredible relationship with God. They're tested. They're thrown into a fire. It's another famous story. And God is with them, protects them. And they thrive in the midst of difficulty and adversity because of their faith in God. Nehemiah, he's another one, post-exile. After Israel's destroyed, things are bad. God just uses Nehemiah in a really powerful way. And so what I want to ask you as we bring this to a close today is your faith rooted in Christ? And so, as I said earlier, maybe you're tuning in and you're not a follower of Christ. Maybe you're kind of on the fence and you feel like you're a bit unhinged, or you feel unsettled, or you're afraid at what's going on in the world. I hope that what God is challenging you with is that you can trust him. Jesus really did come and reveal himself to us. He's God in the flesh. He really did come and reveal his perfection to us. He really did die on a cross. He was raised again to life. All who trust in him have hope to be with God for all eternity. You can trust in him. And no matter what goes on in the world, your relationship with him is firm, it's secure, it's solid. But maybe you're somebody today who does believe in Jesus and we're facing some uncertain times. Are you at a point in your walk with God where you're going to thrive in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of challenges? In the difficult times that we live in, we have more of an opportunity to shine the light of Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you're a follower of Christ, don't be foolish on social media. Don't be divisive. Don't be too free to share just an opinion that's going to cause more pain or division than you need to. Don't be obsessed in this time with your own opinion. I want to encourage you, in the middle of all the stuff we're facing, it's okay for you to say, I don't know. And I think I wish more people who believe and follow Jesus would say, I don't know. Like, instead of coming out on social media or with their friends with, here's what needs to be done, and saying things in a way that just causes more fights and more turmoil, like just being okay with, like, well, I don't really know, but I trust God. Like, be okay with that. Have hope in God and point others to the peace that is found in Christ. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and they're going to close with a song or two. And I want to close a little bit differently today. I want to appeal one more time to, if you're tuning in, you're not a follower of Christ, or you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, a message like this one can be an eye-opener. I said earlier that in times of difficulty, sometimes it's easier to hear God. or to sense what he's saying, or to see that he really is true. And maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus. And what I want to say to you is that if you've never put your faith in Jesus, it's as simple as acknowledging your own failures, your own sinfulness, and saying and telling God, I believe that Jesus really did die on the cross, that he took my sin upon his shoulders. He died. He was raised again. And now he's ascended. He's with the Father in heaven. And just telling God you trust him. It's as simple as that. If you've never put your faith, your hope, your trust in Jesus, I want to encourage you that you can do that. God hears you even now. And so if you want to call out to God, I would encourage you to do that. Just, God, forgive me of my sin. I trust you, and I invite you into my life. And if you do that, you can say something about it in the chat. You can reach out to one of us, send a message or an email. And if you are somebody who is a follower of God, you do follow Christ, I want to really encourage you to realign your heart with God. And maybe if you haven't been trusting him, to reposition your heart and your mind and just acknowledge to God, Lord, I trust you in these times, and I want to follow your lead. I want to speak when you tell me to speak. I want to not speak when you're not telling me to speak, and I want to shine your light and give hope to those around me. And so I'm going to close. What I'm going to do, this will be a little bit different. I want to read a benediction from the book of Jude. It's the last two verses of Jude, verses 24 and 25, and then the team is going to lead us as we close with a song or two. A song. All right. So here we go. It says, now all glory to God, who's able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. I'm just going to pray as Truman adjusts the camera and runs back up, and we'll see the worship team in a second, but let me just pray for us. God, I just want to thank you for the fact that we can trust you wholeheartedly and fully, and I just pray for all those listening in, and myself included, Lord, all of us that are part of this service, that you'd help us to trust you, that in times of uncertainty, when there still are unanswered questions, that we would just trust you, that we'd look to you. God, give us the boldness and backbone to speak up, even if what we're saying is unpopular, but give us the wisdom and discernment to say nothing if you don't want us to say anything, Lord. Help us to be people who shine your light and help others to trust you, God. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name.